Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of us if you would like us to watch your movie. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Also, join the Discord. You can give us your movie suggestions in there. Sports Brewery in the Discord. Join it. It's a good time. Also, we ask for movie suggestions. We ask for lists for the sports podcast. You can give those to us in there. Participate. Speaking of the sports podcast, we do those live on Twitch every Thursday around 7:30. Twitch.tv/abrog87, A-B-R-A-W-G 87. If you want to watch those. And if you miss them, I post them on YouTube. So search for Sports Brewery on YouTube. We're on the things, all of the things. Find us on the things. Movie this week is King's movie, and it's another long one. Again, we have a track record here. King picks long movies. It is what it is. We need to get over it.
Next month is Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
There you go.
Strap in for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Or 13 Assassins, right?
13, yeah.
Let's pick some more subtitle movies, because King says he hates those too, but now that's all he's
doing. I haven't watched a single episode of Shogun, letting you know.
Yep. So the movie is King's. It is Oppenheimer. You see it in the title. It is currently exclusively on the Cock. So if you have Peacock, you can watch it. Came out last year, 2023. It has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.3 on IMDb.
It's got to be one of the highest ones, right?
Ever. Has to. Yeah. A 90 on Metacritic, which is also insanely high. Yeah. It stars Cillian Murphy.
Is this the best ensemble to a movie? Even guys that are in it for 5 minutes, it's very like Tarantino-esque in Wes Anderson, where they get these guys for peanuts to come back.
I really had to make decisions about who I was going to include in the cast that I read about here. Yeah. And by the way, Florence Pugh is a big deal now. Her entire character was just sitting around being naked. That's all she did. Yeah. He got Florence Pugh to come in and play this character and just be naked the whole time. And that's it.
Pretty much.
Wild. Wild. If you're going to make this movie, if you're going to be Christopher Nolan, I guess you can just do that. And everybody wants to be in your movie, and you can just basically pick and choose. You can ask Rob. Some of these guys are offer only anyways, but you just go to Robert Downey Jr. Here, I want you to play this part, and you're going to win an Oscar because of it. He's like, okay. All right.
Are you guys big Nolan fans? Like,
yeah.
And just in general, I know you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
But King, are you, Tenet, I thought Tenet was weak. I didn't like Dunkirk, looked amazing.
I think I'm on the net positive side, but
yeah,
come on, get over yourself a little bit.
It's like the Prestige. I like, you know, Inception. Yeah. I mean, I like weird movies like that, but yeah, I knew he's good. I didn't know he was this getting these kind of people in movies for.
I mean, this cast is no Days and Confused, but it is pretty good.
But what is? I mean,
right.
So I'll list a couple more that you missed. Memento.
There's no Joey Lawrence.
Memento too. Yeah.
Memento is like his first big one. He also did Interstellar, which is a big deal. Yeah. Dark Knight is one of my favorite movies ever.
That's why I said I knew you liked him just for.
I'm on board.
Yeah. See, Dark I think it's kind Knight of fraud Rises. Because he always had Hans Zimmer to do like every movie he ever did until this movie.
Yeah, no, and by the way, it was noticed. There was no
because he was doing Dune. I think that's why he didn't do this movie. But the guy, I'm pretty sure the guy won for this movie
Dune
too.
Dune two things at the same time.
Dune two chicks at the same time.
Ooh, hell yeah, hell yeah, brother!
Fucking A, man.
All right.
No, I would put Dark Knight, Memento. Inception, I would put those up against like anything and any other directors, you know, three movies,
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Mm. You got me there. You got me there. Orgasmo, like
basketball. I mean,
South Park Uncut.
Yeah, I was gonna say Ski names like the one actually good one.
You named Orgasmo, so yeah.
All right, let's actually get to the cast. So Cillian Murphy plays J. Robert Oppenheimer. Emily Blunt plays Kitty Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr. plays Louis Strauss. Matt Damon plays Leslie Groves. Kenneth Branagh plays Niels Bohr, German dude. Florence Pugh plays Jean Tatlock. Rami Malek plays David Hill. Casey Affleck plays Boris Pasch. Josh Hartnett, by the way, really fucking big part, really good.
Yeah. I am so happy to see Hartnett back.
By the way,
couldn't agree more.
Casey Affleck fully rehabbed. Was I unaware of that before watching this? I didn't know he was fully rehabbed.
Didn't know either, but
what does that mean?
I thought he was a sex pest.
Casey Affleck?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They do like that movie where they're on like the Massachusetts, like
it won the Oscar like 3 or 4 years
ago. Yeah, I feel like a couple years ago they're like, yeah, he's a giant sex pest.
Is he? I'll be damned. Huh. Yeah. We should probably confirm that before we like.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into it.
Manchester by the Sea.
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Okay. Hartnett played Ernest Lawrence.
Yeah.
He was so good in this. I agree, man. Josh Hartnett, he's great. I'm happy to see him back in our sphere. It's perfect. And Gary Oldman played Harry Truman. And that's the end of my list. I could go on and on and on and on about people you know and you have heard of, you have seen in other things, who are also in this movie, and were great.
I am surprised you didn't bring up at least one other person that I know you love.
Go for it. I kind of expected
Skarsgård. I figured you would have. Who looked? I had to like triple take at it because I knew he was in the movie. I was like, where is he? I was like, oh, is that him?
Yep.
This bald, fat looking guy.
Yep.
All right.
Gustav Skarsgård. If you watch the Vikings series, he played Floki, and he is so good in that show. Also, was in a season of Westworld too, I believe. So, really tall and a Skarsgård. Yeah.
Casey Affleck, definitely kind of rapey.
The little rapey.
Yeah, a little rapey.
Wow.
Little
rapey. So yeah. Nolan throwing him a bone, I guess.
Hey, it's for the art, right? It's all that matters. I mean, Woody Allen makes movies.
The dark arts, yes.
Yeah. Dark arts.
Woody Allen definitely does not make movies anymore. I don't think so anymore.
Is he alive?
Yeah, good question.
Definitely alive.
Yeah, I feel like we would have heard about that. This movie written and directed by Christopher Nolan. It is based on a book called American Prometheus. Yeah.
Yep. Another one it's written by him, but I think he just used the book for the most part.
Based on a book, yes. And we already talked about other movies that Christopher Nolan has made. And I think he's good. Budget for this movie, $100 million. Box office for this movie, $971.4.
Yeah.
It won Oscars for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor. Also won 5 Golden Globes. So it was very, I mean, I already gave you the scores too. This is one of the most well-regarded movies in the last like 10 years.
So I'm going to pose this question to you guys. Was this movie actually that good, or was this the first? I mean, this and Barbie came out the same, and they were the first movies really post-pandemic that were like,
whoa,
the this level of movie, right?
That last Mission Impossible.
Wow.
I mean, yes, I love it. Who doesn't love Tom Cruise action? But that's just a dumb little action movie, not these big blockbusters kind of thing.
Besmirching the name of Tom Cruise, how dare
are
you?
Are you saying Mission Impossible Empire is not? Oh, wow! Not blockbusters. Wow.
Nope.
This guy.
Not when it's like the seventh movie of the series. Not quite hitting.
Ski on his vaunted hill. You know, just looking down on the rest of us plebes. Jeez. Yes, this movie is good. Like
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm saying, was it just elevated because of that? Elevated.
No. I think this movie actually is really well made. I think the story is really well written. I think everybody sort of acts their ass off in this movie. I think, you know, Robert Downey Jr. does a really good job of making you hate him, because Robert Downey Jr. is a really likable guy. And to make himself into the villain like he did and make you root against him actively and be really happy when Rami Malek goes into the, you know, to the Senate to testify about how much of a dick he is and how much of a vendetta he had. And you really are like, yeah, fuck that guy. He's an asshole. Downey's great. Cillian Murphy, you know, like, as sort of a, I don't know, I've always sort of been on the fence with him. Like, he's always
like
just,
fucking Peaky fucking Blinders.
I didn't watch it. Like, I tried. Like, I tried to.
Really? Yeah.
So it's Hardy, great, yeah. Right? I should watch it. Right?
I love Peaky Blinders, yeah.
Is he good in it?
Yeah.
Or is he sort of middle of the road? Like,
no, he's good.
Okay. So, I mean,
he's a good actor.
Yeah. I've always just thought he was like good. Like, he's sort of like middle of the road, like never really been bad, also never really been great.
And, Ellie,
you know, I think he was really, really good, you know, in terms of best actor. Yeah. Like, I buy it. I think he did a really good job too.
Just and, as yeah, an aside, Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Yeah.
Only the number 25 highest grossing movie since 2020. How?
Only. That's
Barbie and Oppenheimer top 5.
I can't believe it. No, by the way, Oppenheimer, the second highest grossing R-rated movie ever. Behind Joker.
Avatar, The Way of the World. Oh, number one. Ugh. Ugh. Yuck.
No, but when was it, we did reviewed...
You know, did you know that Joker made over $1 billion? Did you know that? The Todd Howard Joker?
I had a feeling I did, but...
$1 billion. Wild.
Hmm?
Who is watching that a second time?
I liked it. I thought it was like a fantastic movie.
So but did yeah, I.
It's a one and done. It's a one and done.
Who would go to the theater? Okay, I answer my own question. If you call it the theater, sure. You went to that movie. You went to Joker a second time. Yeah, you just call it going to the movies. You went once.
The theater.
Yeah.
But what if you're going to the cinema?
Ooh, cinema is in between.
It is, isn't it?
I
the new Space Jam was cinema.
I consider myself a cinephile. I'm a cinephile, so I'm going to that movie four times.
Okay.
You never know. You're gonna miss something, man. Like, you got to see everything. Yeah.
Are you gonna watch this movie a second time?
No.
Is this rewatchable?
Once it turns into, well, I mean, I don't have cable anymore. I'm a loser. I pay way more than I used to. Just a stream shit. But in parlance, if it was on TNT or TBS or whatever that is, I would watch it just coming upon it. Give it 30 minutes here, 40 minutes there. I will never start that movie from start to front. To back and watch it again. No.
I think I'm all talk. I think if, like, a certain person asked me to watch the movie with them, I would probably watch the
movie. Well, that's different. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sure.
I am not going to sit down and watch it myself. I don't see why I would want to do that. Yeah.
I think there's an abridged version you could watch. Just, I think you jump in right when they start the Manhattan Project, because that's about an hour into the fucking movie. If you cut this down to a 2-hour view, it's a pretty intense final 2 hours. I mean,
yeah.
Because that first hour it's so much character and world building that if you cut that, yeah, I could watch that again. How about that?
I think one of the best scenes in the whole movie is when they are in the room talking about how to use it, where they're going through the different cities, where like essentially they're crossing off Japanese cities off the list. And, you know, he's like, I think he said like Kyoto.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not going to do Kyoto.
Honeymoon in Kyoto.
My wife and I had part of our honeymoon there, and it's just a fantastic city. It's like, just thinking about what they're talking about. It's like they have just said, this is going to kill at least 10,000 people. Like it's going to cause like devastation around the area. You know, it's going to cause like a huge mental effect on people who live in the area too. Like this is going to devastate Japan. And then to have that conversation about, okay, well, which cities are we going to drop it on? Wild.
Can't be too big. Can't be too small.
And by the way, and part of the discussion being like, I don't think we should do this. I think this should help our president, you know, increase peace talks. You know, we should include NATO. We should do like a worldwide thing. And the frank talk about Japan's never going to surrender. And so it's either this or we go to Japan and completely take over the country. Neither is a good option, but this might actually be the best one.
Well,
which is a crazy fucking thing to talk about. Like, and we have hindsight now with the atomic bomb and everything like that. But that is just like, that scene was
shout out to George Clinton, by the way.
Atomic dog.
Yeah.
So high you can't get over it, man. Yeah.
So low you can't get under it.
Yeah.
No, but this movie, especially during that scene, because I mean, I guess there aren't that many movies where they go in depth about dropping the bomb and stuff, but this movie is so like anti-communist as well, because that was, if you watch enough documentaries and things on World War II, a big factor why they dropped the bomb was to show Russia that, hey, yeah, you guys won this war with us, but we still don't like you. Here's what we can do to you.
And I think a lot of people forget about the second Red Scare, because that's what this was. Like the stuff where Oppenheimer is having to answer questions and they're asking his wife about her like communist ties when she was like previously married and stuff. Like, I don't think people remember the McCarthyism stuff, but they don't remember this too. And this was a big deal. Like, you have a guy who really in that era for sure should have been viewed as like an American hero, right? Like, he created the thing that ended the Great War. You know, I guess the Great War is the First World War, but like
World War One
ended World War Two.
This was the war to end all wars.
War to end all wars, right? It was after Hitler had died and Germany surrendered. It was just Japan, but still, like, it ended because of what this dude created. And then they went and did all of this and vilified him. And again, it really shows how much of a douchebag Strauss was, and how much of a, and again, like, Downey did such a good job of portraying that character and making him like, you know, you sort of understand him in the beginning, but then he just turns and flips, and he did that shit in real life.
Was this his first big role since, like, other than Iron Man?
Yeah, he did. He did a movie where he like played his dad or something, right? I think I forget, but yeah.
I mean, of course, other than Tropic Thunder, but that's fucking
that was before. Yeah.
Was that before the first Iron Man too? Yeah.
Ooh, good question. Yeah. The first Iron Man was such a long time ago.
It was a long fucking time ago, and he's been Tony Stark for 20 years. So I don't know.
So I looked up a little bit of information about that trial, or not trial. It wasn't an actual trial, but like the thing they did with Oppenheimer, like in real life. So apparently, like, his like credentialing or whatever he was trying to get, like his pass to be able to travel or something like that, that was going to end anyways. Like
it was a renewal, essentially.
It was a renewal,
but
it was going to end. Like, he wasn't going to get it anyways. And the reason this happened is basically so Strauss could humiliate him and put him on a public stage and make him look like shit. That's literally the only reason he did it. So he had this personal vendetta on this dude for such a long time and just wanted to fuck him over.
Personal
and,
personal vendettas in politics, that can't happen, right?
Amazing.
No,
amazing.
Nobody does that. Yeah. American politics.
By the way, that contract the Washington Nationals signed with Strauss, what an albatross.
I know. Unbelievable. They're still suffering the ramifications.
Hey, he's pitched 19 innings since before we knew what COVID was. Strauss, you're a bum.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say too, like the scene where they did all the testing of it was really cool too. You know?
So that was another about 45 minute block there too. Again,
this movie, it's like it's such a significant world event that like we don't really think about as much as we probably should, you know.
You also don't really know. I mean, I would say the age where in school we were taught World War II and we knew of the Manhattan Project and all that, but you never went into depth of really, especially what this movie went to, especially
especially with the Manhattan Project. We had no idea that Michelangelo and Donatello could do that to Casey Jones. That shit was nuts. We had no idea.
April O'Neil just like sitting there watching the whole thing. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
She's like the original David Pecker at, you know, TMZ or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
National Enquirer. It's crazy.
Just big ass camera. Like, come on, lady. Do your job.
Yeah. A covert journalist wearing a banana yellow jumpsuit. Yeah. A very shiny one, depending on which variation you watch.
Actually, it's usually zipped down a little bit too. The other part is, I mean, we're not old enough too to live at the times, but we've known from class and, you know, just whatever we're learning, but the amount of anti-communism around that time, you know, I always assumed it was more post-World War II, like leading into the Korean War was like the big time where they would, you know, like I said, deport people or lock them up for being fucking commies, these fucking Reds.
We would absolutely be like not locked up, but we would lose our jobs. Just the shit we say in this podcast, we would lose our jobs. We would be vilified in our neighborhood. Like it was wild.
That's you know, people complain about now, especially going on with like Israel, Palestine, Hamas, shit like that. If this current scenario was taking place back then in the 40s and 50s, all these protesters and stuff would just be, you wouldn't see them again, kind of thing.
And easy to forget that our country, this is like turning into a political podcast.
Well, this movie is a political movie.
It is.
Proud to be. Okay. I'm going to sing this very low while you go on your commie rant.
Okay. Easy to forget, by the way, that this country during World War II had Japanese internment camps.
We did indeed. So we didn't mention that once in this movie, though.
Find Japanese people from our neighborhoods, naturally born Japanese people who have lived here their whole lives, and we would put them in camps. That's something the United States of America did during World War II.
God bless the USA.
Glad I know.
We're covered.
Yeah, we're covered.
We're good.
We're good.
We're not going to get deported now, buddy.
Nope. You're a commie pinko ass.
Healthcare
should be a right. Ooh.
They didn't use that term enough in this movie, in my eyes. They didn't call anyone pinkos.
I love a good pinko. Look at my eyes.
I know. You're a fucking pinko guy right now.
Pinko commie long hair, man.
Yeah.
Where would they send us? It might be better. I might be able to afford a house.
It'd be somewhere warm, I feel like.
It would be warm.
Hey, that might be okay.
I could do a sit in Guantanamo.
Send you to the gulag, I guess.
You send me to Russia, I'm
that's
killing myself. You send me to Guantanamo? what do you mean, man? I got Coca-Cola with real sugar and plantains. And it's 82 and sunny every day. I'm good.
Got that cocaine, you know, working around the complex.
Give me that good Coke and that good Coke.
Yep. Absolutely. You noticed.
And those plantanos. Yes, sir. Oh, boy. Si se puede? I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I forget what I was talking about before. I think it was,
you're talking like, your commie, like, your, like your the, daily worker rag. You're yeah, going off on. No,
exactly. the testing scene was really cool too. So those are really the two real takeaway scenes for me in this whole movie were like the testing of the bomb was really cool, and the talking about when the bomb was done and ready, where they're actually going to use it. I thought that was cool too. Like when the bomb was tested, and because we know this now because we play video games and have watched war movies our whole lives, but like imagine what they saw back then. Like this is the biggest bomb that has ever existed, and they just tested it and they're like, okay, it went off.
They're all going on theories of we think we're safe from here. Think it's going to be this size. It's all, they're the ones that find out. So now we know.
Imagine that feeling too, where you see the shock wave coming towards you, mm-hmm. right? And it's a good like 20 seconds before it gets to them. You see the earth moving towards you, and then it's just like hits you in the face. And by the way, like the talk of the fear of like when he was talking with Einstein too, where he's like, are we creating a thing that is going to ignite the atmosphere?
Yeah.
And like the whole world is just done. Like we're going to end the world. That was a fear. Like they could have set this bomb off and the whole fucking world ends. Cause they lit the atmosphere on fire. It's like Jesus. And then they light it off. And they set the thing off. It's crazy.
Got to test it.
Crazy.
Like, what was the thing you said? It's a non-zero chance.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's
not zero.
That like Matt Damon scene that was cool too, yeah. Where he's like, "I'd like 0%." Yeah,
I read something. Damon was on like a hiatus from acting. He told his wife, but he's like, "If like this kind of role comes along, I'm gonna have to do it." Was he really good in this movie, or was he just Matt Damon ish in this movie?
He was. I'll say he was good, but if you want to, you know, put on the Hater Patrol hat, I could see how you'd say he was kind of just Matt Damon.
He was kind of just Matt Damon, which is fine.
I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying he was kind of just Matt Damon, right?
I like Matt Damon. And so I was fine with Matt Damon in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like I thought he was good. Like he was a great version of Matt Damon, which is good.
I mean, Matt Damon was Matt Damon when he sung Scotty Don't Know. Scotty doesn't know. So, I mean,
not know.
There's a little bit of, you know, leeway there with Matt Damon just being Matt Damon.
What's a better cameo appearance? Matt Damon there or Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder?
Tom Cruise. It's not even close.
Yeah, without question. That's the best cameo in any movie ever, I think. Like, it's incredible.
But that's a legit movie. I mean, how did Matt Damon find his way? And
so
I'm
trying
to think. I'm blanking on the name of.
Is that Euro Trip?
Euro Trip. Yeah.
Euro Trip.
Great movie. Entertaining movie. But what are you doing in there, Matt Damon? How did
Scotty
you find your way?
No, Scott knows.
Well, that wasn't Todd Phillips, too, was it? I don't know.
No.
Couldn't have been.
No.
Yeah.
I bring up Matt Damon because I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the first time like 3 weeks ago.
That's the first time? Oh, you hate that movie, don't you?
See, I love Tarantino.
I
trust me, I read all the buzz about people saying this is the greatest movie ever made.
Rick Dalton.
The movie wasn't good to me. But the other end of that is I thought Leonardo DiCaprio had one of the greatest acting jobs in any movie ever. DiCaprio was so fucking good. But
man,
the movie
Davis
was
coming to your house.
I know, but I didn't like the movie.
Davis is moving
like
south. I've been keeping track of Davis on Facebook. He's moving south.
He's moving.
He's inching towards you, buddy.
Catching.
Lock those windows. You're talking shit about Rick Dalton. Lock those fucking windows, my man.
He's gonna catch you on the way out of town, bud. Watch yourself. Yeah.
Yep. You're gonna be in a pool on a swan. And here comes a flamethrower. Dunzo.
So I have a list of best cameos in movie history, and I think we might be wrong. Mike Tyson in Hangover was really good. Neil Patrick Harris in Harold and Kumar. Coke off a stripper's ass. I mean, Bill,
that's a good one. That's
Bill, I guess because that was Murray. So out of the norm for him at the time.
Exactly. Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Yes. Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Let's see. What else we got? Yeah, Tom Cruise, Tropic Thunder. Yeah, there's a bunch of other dumb ones. But yeah, Bill Murray in Zombieland is that's probably it.
Yeah, but that was Bill
Tom
Murray
Berenger
doing
in The Land Before Time was very jarring.
Tom Berenger.
It was just weird.
The Berengeverse, right?
Yeah.
Berengeverse.
Yeah. They were just trying to eat in the valley. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. Yeah.
But then back on topic here for this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just saying that. Then on the flip side of that, I thought, well, Cillian Murphy was fantastic. I mean, it was Daniel Day-Lewis level acting in getting into character. Emily Blunt, I thought, was fantastic as well.
Yo, like, I was gonna say, like, her voice in this movie, and maybe that's just her
getting these fucking classic, getting these fucking Euros over here to play our great American people. Man.
Boy, she is just, you know, I'm not trying to go like all like pervy on you guys here. Cause frankly, she's been more attractive in other things, but fucking shit, Emily Blunt. Like, man. And you know what? Like, I was reminded because, you know, her standing in New Mexico, like, reminded me of Sicario. And so, I don't know. Like, by the way, watch Sicario if you haven't done that yet. It's fantastic.
Well, why don't you pick Sicario next week?
But I was like, is she? It's not streaming. Trust me.
No.
But like, is she going to like walk into that cabin they just built and find some dead bodies or something? I don't know, man. Like, yeah. Yeah, man. And Florence Pugh, like, so what are your thoughts?
See, I thought you were
going to
go pervy on Florence Pugh, not Emily Blunt here.
You know, I'm not a person who, you know, like in your 20s, you have like that list or whatever. Like, these are people you're allowed to cheat on your significant other with. Like, we're at the point where that's like silly. But she is like, Florence Pugh is it, man. Like,
the Wendy's girl.
Okay. All right. You got me.
She'll feed you chili afterwards.
She'll feed you chili and like baked potatoes.
A square burger.
Burger.
You want a baked potato with like chives and sour cream?
Oh, I love me some chives.
Come on,
after
man.
Cheating, give me some chives.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm a chive turkey, let me tell you.
A chive turkey. It's the best thing you've ever said. No, but like Florence Pugh is elite. Like, she's elite. Like, just like, because she's like, you know, she's attractive. She's cool as fuck, man. Like, and by the way, if you're like a follower of her on the socials and stuff too, like during the pandemic, she would do this like cooking thing where she would just go on Instagram Live and cook a thing. And you just watch her cook a thing. And it was fantastic. Like, you're bored as hell. It's the pandemic. You have nothing else to do. And you're just watching Florence Pugh cook make a salad or cook a dinner. And it's like, she's the coolest, man.
Do you just like that kind of raspy voice? Is that what does it for you?
It doesn't not do it.
Like, who was that? Like Kathleen Turner?
She's
got that raspy voice too, doesn't she?
Walking too close to the sun. You're flying too close to the Icarus.
Icarus, slow down, Icarus. All right, we got like a minute left. We got to grade this thing.
To my movie.
Yeah.
What's so out of this week?
We're going out of five.
Out of five?
Yep.
I'm giving it a 4.2.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to go before me, Ski?
Yeah. I'm knocking it down a half a point because it's fucking 3 hours long.
Yeah.
But yeah, 4.5. I mean, it's good.
This is
am I going to be low?
I got 4.75.
Wow.
I don't think it's perfect, but I do think it is. It's a really amazing movie.
I thought we would all penalize it for being 3 hours long. I was more.
I did penalize it.
Yeah, so did I. I was just more.
And it's a valid reason to penalize it in my eyes. It is long as fuck.
I hear you. A 3 hour movie is something else. And I will say, I did not find myself bored during this movie. Like, the performances were
the first 40 minutes.
The beginning slowly, but once, like I said, once the Manhattan Project starts and through the trial and everything, not
amazing,
a boring scene.
Amazing filmmaking. You know,
Barbenheimer. What a great week. Yeah. We didn't do it in real time, but slowly we did become part of the Barbenheimer hive. Good for us.
Yes, we got there.
Where else would you rather be than Barbenheimer? Right here, right now.